Hi everyone, this is Evan Murray. This is Music Industry Insights. This is the podcast where we talk about music industry topics. We talk about all the topics that surround the music industry or that can be included with the music industry, whether that's political or cultural or economic. In this podcast you're listening to is with a lady by the name Guernica. She's the lady with the incredible laugh. She's got such good energy. You can really tell she enjoys her career. She loves where she's at. And by all extents of the imagination, you know, I think she's really earned her place. She's really earned the privilege she has now as being a, you know, she's a rock star. This girl is a fucking rock star. And it's just a pleasure to talk to her. She's the lead singer of a kick-ass hard rock female band. This band is comparable to AC/DC, Rolling Stones on steroids. This is a fully female kick-ass hard rock and roll band. They tour all over Europe. They've toured in the United States. They've played festival in India. These girls are active. I mean, they're active. They're dedicated to this band. Guernica actually played at Live at Heart, the Showcase Conference in Orebro, with her former band. And I wanted to talk to her because I think it's important for independent musicians, management people, agencies, anybody in the music industry that is up and coming, I think it's important for them to listen to this conversation. This conversation is between myself, which is a Showcase Conference coordinator, consultant, and an artist that is doing very well for themselves. You know, an artist that has risen from the bottom, you know, in the independent sector and is now making a full living as an artist. So there's lots to learn, you know, from Guernica's story. There's a lot to learn from this interview for anyone that is pursuing a career in the music industry. If you have any comments or questions, or you just want to need a friend to talk to, you know, you can always email me at evan@musicindustryins.net. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you think I'm doing a good job, bad job. Tell me if you got anything from this, you know, tell me if there's anything extra you wanted to know, but please do, you know, extract the information that you can from this interview. Listen closely, listen to Guernica's story, and most of all, enjoy it.
Hi, thank you for having me. Like you said, I'm the lead singer in the band Thunder Mother. I've been part of this band now for 4 years. It's been a crazy ride, a lot of fun things. What else? Musically, I don't know. My background is I went to MI after high school, so I studied music and I've been pursuing music basically my whole entire adult life. So music is my life.
Okay. Well, congratulations, by the way, too, because I have been following your career for like a couple of years now. And I see that the band has been like all over the world. I see that you've been playing lots of big shows. I mean, you know, post pandemic, we've also got tours now across Europe, after COVID. So congratulations. I mean, you're a working success story here, right? So it's really nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
and that brings me to my first question. So like, what does success mean to you?
Well, I guess the first thing is just doing something that really makes you happy. And that's the reason that I decided to, you know, take a leap of faith and pursue music, however scary it felt to do that. Because I've always wanted to just lead a very happy life. And what makes me happy is music and doing what I love. So that's the number one thing that like really drives me. But obviously I have little things on my list that I want to, you know, achieve before I can be completely satisfied with my musical career. And playing Wacken was one of them, and we did that, and we're going to do that again. And, you know, like little things like that on the, I mean, they're not little, but things like that on the way.
Right. So you have like, you kind of have milestones, and when you hit them, you're like, this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted yes. to do kind of thing. Yeah.
I had, sorry.
Please go ahead. Please.
No. I was just going to say like one big one was obviously being able to, have music as my full-time job, and that we managed to do in 2019. So that was a huge milestone. Now it's like the really big ones left, like doing the arena tours and playing Rock in Rio, things like that.
I actually, the guy who books Rock in Rio is one of my friends, so maybe I can talk to him.
But, please do. That's been on my. I don't have like a physical vision board, but since like I decided that this was going to be my path, like I've always wanted to, I don't even have to be like the main act. I just want to play at the festival.
Okay. I'll definitely shoot him an email afterwards.
Please. Thank you.
Okay. So how about this? So I understand like music correlates with happiness. This, you know, you want to be happy. You love the energy, the experiences and this stuff. Like, where did it start? Like, when did you start thinking like, wow, like, you know, this is what I want to do. Like, who did you listen to or who did you see? Like, what were your influences? And if you could, if there is a difference between your influences that happened around where you live, or was it purely through like television and radio? Like, can you talk about regional and international, you know?
I mean, as far as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a singer. I mean, I started really early in a church choir. I guess a lot of people do that. And I don't know, it's just something that I've always wanted. And my dad was he is a drummer, but like a hobby type drummer. But I saw him perform, you know, with his like cover band and stuff like that when I was a kid. So it was just something that I was always around. And at home, my family is from Uruguay. So, I mean, we've had, and my dad being a musician, we've always had a lot of different music. And my parents always listened to music. So it was all like, it could be Latin music. It was a lot of the Beatles. It was like, it's like such a mixture, like Earth, Wind and Fire, you know, like it was like everything. It was all over the border. And that's kind of how I am today as well. Like I listen to everything, but like as a child, to be completely honest, I was very inspired by all the pop artists, like, you know, coming up.
This will reveal.
Spice Girls was a huge influence on me.
Girl power, right? Yeah.
I mean, I love that shit. That was like, I lived for that. And I mean, even though that's not necessarily the music that I'm pursuing myself, and that doesn't really come natural to me to write pop music on my own like that, I definitely still have a soft spot in my heart for that kind of pop music.
Okay. Well, I mean, pop music has its place, and I mean, pop is based around hooks, and I mean, so is rock and roll. So, I mean, it makes sense. I think maybe just style-wise is different. Like, instead of wearing pretty pink, rockers wear, you know, bad black, maybe, you know?
Exactly. So I feel like the black is more my, that's where my heart is. That sounds so weird. But, I mean, I remember, like, you know, when No Doubt came out with their Tragic Kingdom album, that was like a big thing for me. Like, I guess that was like the first like tough female female vocalist that I started looking up to a lot, like Gwen Stefani back in the day. Okay. When they were still like punk and, you know, ska rock type band. But I've always listened to all kinds of music, but I really, really got into rock later on. When I moved to Los Angeles, really around that time, after around high school there, I I really started listening more and more to rock, and I found that my voice fit the genre really well. And when I started writing more songs on my own too, it was just, it tended to be more blues rock, blues oriented. So I don't know if it's just a mixture of everything that I've listened to my whole life, but I like music, and if it's a good song, it's a good song. But my heart has, I mean, I've completely fallen in love with rock, obviously.
I mean, the thing is too, to attribute to like your career, I mean, you have a very powerful rock vocal. Like, I'm sure you can sing folk music and pop music, but I mean, you really do stand out amongst like rock metal singers. So, I mean,
thank you.
And I wonder if that happened naturally or was something that you more thought about moving along in your life. But I mean, it kind of seems like you just found your, you know, found where you needed to be kind of thing. So I think that adds to your success as well. What do you feel like, how do you feel about the attention you get? Like when strangers are contacting you, like me or like other people, like, how does that, like, I mean, what's that like? Are you, you know, do you set aside a time for yourself to deal with emails? Do you have strategies about how to, you know, coordinate with your fans or people that you're doing business with? Like, tell me a little bit about, you know, that aspect.
I'm actually really bad at that. I'm learning, and I think I guess one good thing about the pandemic is that it got really highlighted in my life that I don't really have a clear line between work and private life. And throughout this whole year now, I'm slowly but surely learning how to separate things, but it is still something that I really struggle with. And because I'm a people pleaser. I want people to be happy. I don't, you know, it's something that I work with. So it's hard for me to not respond to people. Whereas like my boyfriend, he's always telling me like, you don't have to respond to people so quickly. You don't have to, because I'm always like, bam, 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 because it stresses me out to feel like, you know, if you forget to respond, you don't want to be rude, or if you take too long. And I mean, these are things that I know are normal and other people can deal with much better. So I'm trying to learn how to deal with it, and also understand within myself that I can't, there's not enough for me to be like, pleasing everyone, you know what I mean? Like, I need to take care of myself, and so I then can do what I'm good at and do it really well. So it's a learning curve. I really appreciate though all people reaching out and being, you know, nice. That's a fine line too when you're coming up as an artist. It's like in the beginning you're just so I mean, you're still always going to be grateful that people want to contact you and work with you, but then when does it come, you know, when does it take over? Like, it's like, well, I need to find balance basically. But I do appreciate people reaching out and being very supportive is always a great thing. I just hope that eventually I'll be able to maybe just put off one day a week or an hour a day to just, okay, I'll deal with this now. And then whatever comes, I'll take it later.
That's, you know, that's really interesting. Cause I mean, like I had an artist career like previous to working in the business, and one of the differences for me is that when I was an artist, I was constantly trying to hustle people. I was constantly trying to engage in these conversations, you know, trying to make more contacts, trying to explore possibilities. And then when I made the shift in a couple of years, it started becoming where people were contacting me in reverse. And I had trained myself to like basically check my phone. Like every time I saw a light flash, it was like, grab the phone, because who knows what opportunity is there, you know? And
exactly.
And I still have that behavior. Like, I still struggle with that where I'm like, oh, it's, you know, I should be, it's 2:00 in the morning, I should be sleeping, but oh, I wonder what, you know, I got to check my email. Like, I got to make sure that, you know, what's going on. So yeah, I think, and the thing is like, when I listen to you talk about that, I'm starting to identify, like, maybe it is like maybe I trained myself earlier on and this is what it is. I have to kind of break that training, you know, like I have to try to. So it's interesting stuff at the very least. With music, like, did you have any other goals? Like, did you think about doing other things with your life if, say, you didn't, you know, start making money? Like, were you, at the time when you were building your career, were you looking, like, were your parents like, hey, like, you need your education? Or were people saying to you, like, hey, you should have some security if it doesn't work out, or how did that work?
I mean, I've had a lot of that. I'm just very determined when, you know, I've decided I wanted to pursue music and I was not going to give that up. And I gave myself a timeline, like, okay, until 35. So if I haven't been able to make anything of this career, then maybe I need to start thinking differently, because I do want to have certain, comforts in life too. I don't want to always live on like paycheck to paycheck and the stressful life that it is for most musicians. And I'm not saying it's not for us, because it's, you know, the pandemic has hit us all. I've met a lot of judgment on the way, and I've had to work a lot with my own like self-esteem and just being confident in my own choices. And because it is kind of frustrating, people don't really respect an artist until you're successful. And they don't understand that all these years of hard work are something. I mean, that's for every artist, more or less. Like, you don't really make it overnight. Nobody does that anymore. So, I mean, it's a tricky question.
Well, I can understand what you're saying, because, I mean, yeah, I made a big post on Facebook the other day about, you know, like these distribution and like labels, like kind of trying to track down artists and, hey, we really like your stuff, we'd really like to get your stuff out there, like just send us 10,000 USD kind of thing. And I'm just like, that's, you know, it's absolutely absurd. It's like the industry has flipped around where, you know, the musicians are paying to be out there and, you know, they're not gaining the money. And so, I mean, you're in a really special situation to be in a successful band, because it is crazy weird now about how people can reach success or how they gain success. Like, one of the interviews I did with an artist, like she got famous during the pandemic, right? So like, she hasn't even done any, like, I mean, she did do a live show, but she hasn't done a lot of like touring or since. She got famous on YouTube and Instagram. So
wow,
it's just so weird, right? Like, you can get famous in all these different ways now, but also, you know, that it's also a huge challenge financially. So I mean,
but what does that fame mean? Like, what kind of, is it just that she has a lot of hits, or is she actually making money off her YouTube channel?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you can, you know, there is like, I mean, and that's the kind of thing, like, I was lecturing in Taipei, and one of the things I talked about with artists is I said, you know, yes, there's a real life, you know, system out there where you're making money playing shows, you're trying to hustle things, you know, if you get, you know, if you build a good fan base in cities and different places. But there's also a reality online, you know, like if you build a certain amount of followers on Instagram, I mean, Instagram will actually sponsor you to make posts. And so, and you can get inside products to sponsor you to make posts, or YouTube, like, you know, it's a thing called RPM, which is like residual per mil. So every 1,000 views you get a certain amount of money for that. So when you start getting in the echelons of like 150,000 views, 400,000 views, you know, 4 million views, that kind of thing, the money does start to equate, you know, it does start to build, and it is money you can live off of. So, I mean, we have to try to understand the music industry too. Like, there are two realities now, you know, and I mean, yeah. And what's funny is sometimes those two realities don't even intersect, you know, like, no. So, I mean,
we are really trying, because I'm not going to lie, like Thunder Mother as a band and the whole team, our main goal is to really become, you know, make rock and roll mainstream again and reach as many as possible. So we're really trying to work all the different platforms, but it's like you said, like, it's really hard because we've done it the old school way. We've toured so much, so we have a really solid, like, hardcore, true fan base, like a real rock and roll fan base. Like, they are just the best, the most supportive people ever. But now we're also trying to reach, like, a new generation by, you know, boosting our YouTube channel, having a freaking TikTok, and doing all these things. And I find it really hard because it's, I see how the statistics are changing. Like, we are getting more female listeners, which is awesome, and a slightly younger audience. But it goes so slowly, and I don't really know what else we could do as a band to reach these people, because I'm 100% sure they would like our music if they just had a chance to hear it. But it's like, I don't even know how to.
This is such a huge conversation, because that, I mean, check this out. Like, you're actually doing something in real life where you can show up to cities and play in front of thousands of people. And you're, you know, you're having to meet that challenge of online, you know, online, I don't want to say online supremacy, but like online, you know, where people are, you know, magnetizing millions of people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I'm talking to someone that's on the opposite side of that spectrum where, like, you know, they had a viral hit and then from there they've built on it. And, but I don't know what their real life engagement would be like, right? I can only see their online engagement, where you guys, it's like, and I guess there'd be a lot of different strategies to think about that. Like, one thing is, obviously you want new generations tuning into your stuff, because I mean, what are the age demographics of people that are using TikTok, you know, mostly using Instagram? Maybe you want to do a Spice Girls cover. I mean, maybe, you know,
or maybe, you know, maybe. Like, maybe, I mean, I'm not hating that idea.
You know,
the 90s is very in, you know, trendy.
It's starting, so yeah. I mean, I might always be too. And I just wonder, like, you know, what is there a secret recipe? I don't know. I don't know if there is. I think there's a, I know one thing from studying online, you know, people that have got famous online or things like that from studying it, is that what I found is there's an event. So it doesn't happen in a gradual way like we like to think. Like, yes, you can build an audience in a gradual way, but people that have millions of followers or hundreds of thousands of followers, there's an event. There's this one thing that happens and it just starts pulling everybody in. And then from there, and from there, they kind of, you know, flow with that. So yeah, I think maybe it's something worth thinking about with your team and discussing, because I mean, because you have the fan base in real life, I really think it would be very hopeful for you guys to even make something huge online as well. I really think it's possible.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're hoping to do that.
What about collaborations? Collaborations, huh? Right? There's all kinds of influencers on the internet. What about collaborations with influencers, or like collaborations with people who are, you know, sitting in those upper echelons of numbers? How do you feel about that?
I wouldn't mind at all. I mean, we have some influencers. I mean, they're not the biggest ones, but like some influencers, like German rock girls that are influencers on Instagram.
I love German rock girls.
But yeah, no, definitely it would be nice to do some sort of collab with any influencer.
All right, I'm gonna leave you with one question here, because I mean, we're, you know, thanks for your time, you know, we're sitting sitting at like almost 15-20 minutes here. So can you give like any advice to independent musicians coming up? You know, like, you got people out there that are starting out their career and they're kind of looking at this whole scope of like the internet and live shows and agencies and distributors and branding. Like, if you were like saying, like having a seminar right now and there's just a bunch of independent musicians sitting in front of you, like, what kind of things are you saying to them?
That's a good question. I mean, there's so many things. First of all, one thing that Philippe, our guitar player, did really well, she started Thunder Mother, that she had a very clear vision when she started the band, like both like visually and, you know, everything, like the whole package. Like she had a clear band name, Thunder Mother. You hear the name, you can more or less, you know, figure out what kind of music it is. She also knew that she wanted to be an all-female AC/DC, basically. And all these, I'm not saying you should copy anyone, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's really good if you have a clear vision of who you are and what you want to do, like number one. But then realize that it's really a hard work. Like, you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of normal things in order to make it happen. And one thing that I did with, I did wrong, I guess, with my previous band, was that we wanted to be the underdogs and stay in our little town. And I know that if we would have moved to Stockholm, where the capital of Sweden, we would have had much better opportunities to just network and meet the right people and get the shows and stuff like that, because you have to be where it's happening. And that's weird to say now during a pandemic, but that's something that I really like, looking back on my band, I was like, you were freaking great, I thought. And I think that if we would just put ourselves where everything was happening, we would have at least made some more stronger connections to make us, I guess, break earlier or break at all. So I think just to be strategic and think of it as a business as well, like it's going to be a few rough years, you know, it takes time and you just have to work really hard.
I think that's great advice. I mean, it sounds like a lot about staying true to yourself, but also having a business plan, like trying to foresee how you can take stages into building things. I also think it's important that you mentioned, you know, being in the right places so that you can meet the right people. Keeping
Live at Heart. Live at Heart. It was amazing. That was like one of the few things, networking events that we actually did with my old band. And I remember that was such a great experience. And I think it's awesome that you guys do it.
Well, the guys in Arbor are going to love that. They're going to be like, yeah, good one, Evan. You said it. I'll have to tag that, you know. So, the thing is, like, I do think showcasing is valuable for that exact reason. Is, you know, like, you have to look at it like it's an investment inside of your business for sure. You know, because I mean, you're in a business of people, and that's how you meet people. So, I just want to say thanks a lot for spending time with me today and, you know, chatting. I think it was pretty awesome chat. I mean, you got a great personality. I wish you much success in your future.
Thank you.
Let's stay in touch and I'll send you my buddy's email. How about that?
Absolutely. Yes. Do that. Yay. Brazil.
Okay. Cheers, Guernica.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye for now.